Everybody turn to Colossians chapter 3. We're just closing out today this series called Supreme, where we're just looking at the supremacy, the beauty, the majesty of Jesus, and the supremacy of a life that is hidden in him and everything that that actually means. So I'm just grateful to have this time with you and looking forward to diving in. What I want to do is just start by talking about why we do what we do. Why do you do the things that you do? We don't often get to think about the motivations of why we do all of the things that we do in this life. Sometimes we know beyond a shadow of a doubt why we do what we do. Meaning there are things that are incredibly important to you, that you do things with a ton of intentionality and purpose because there's things that align with your interests, or you've got passions, or you've got a desire for something you know beyond a shadow of a doubt why you want to operate that. There, maybe you have a place of care, a place of concern. You know for sure, this is why I do the things that I do. But sometimes, and I would say often, we operate in ways that we don't think about why we do what we do. There's lots of our parts of our lives that we'll just pick up. And we operate in ways, maybe not with as much intentionality. We often will just see, maybe you saw your parents do things a particular way, and so you do those that way. Or maybe you saw them do something a particular way, and you're like, that's not my jam, and I don't operate that way. But you don't really think about it that much. Sometimes you pick up a habit from friends or people that you see around, but there's not a ton of thought that goes into exactly why we do what we do. So it allows us to just ask this core and fundamental question. In everything that we do, what are the motivations of your heart? In everything, we have this whole scope of life in which we get to do beautiful and great things, and then we get to do like little tiny normal things that happen each and every day. But in everything that we do, what are the motivations of your heart? What are the motivations of my heart? That's what this final text is going to take aim at as we close out this series, is just begin to ask this question. Why do you do what you do? We're going to receive this incredible instruction about how we live and why we do anything that we do in this life. We're going to get these two bookend scriptures. I'm going to read them. We're going to read these together. These two bookend texts talking about how or the motivation by which we do anything in this life. And then we'll get to kind of fill in the middle toward the end. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 17, and here's the encouragement from the Word of God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Then skip down to this other bookend text in verse 23. Whatever you do, everybody say, whatever you do. Whatever you do, all right, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Now, these texts are going to give us a bookend understanding of the motivations of the heart. But if we're not careful, what we're going to hear or what we'll read here is that in everything I do, I better be doing it in the name of the Lord and unto his glory or else. Meaning, don't mess this up. That all of your motivation should be doing all of these things in the name of the Lord, which sounds a little bit like a checkbox, meaning like this is all the stuff that I'm doing and I'm supposed to do it this way and I got to make sure that I'm doing it right with the right motivations. And we try to gin up in ourselves this idea that we've got to operate in some ways in order to be maybe even acceptable to God. In other words, this just becomes another thing we do to check off the checkbox, to say, well, got to make sure that I have good motivations and got to have the right heart. Got to make sure that I'm thinking about things in a right way so that whatever I do, I've got to make sure I've got to have all that lined up. Just another thing I have to do. And I would just say, today is Mother's Day. And you know what moms don't need today? Just another thing to do. You don't need that. And what's beautiful is that these instructions are not just another thing for you to do or make sure you're checking off the checkbox. Because actually, when we get to dig into these verses, what we get to find out is that God's asking us to, before we do anything, is to receive from him first. Meaning there are powerful motivations that we're meant to have with the Lord. But they won't come from us ginning it up ourselves. It'll come from what we receive first from this incredible Father. These texts are actually going to say that the motivations of our heart are not set from a place of us to perform one more task for God, but rather receive the incredible, precious gift that God has for all of us today. Actually, it'll say with thanksgiving, meaning there's rich gladness in our hearts to have and this incredible inheritance that we receive. Meaning God's not out to check to make sure that your heart has all the right boxes checked to make sure that you're doing things for his name and glory. He's actually inviting us to receive something so that we're overflowing into the world around us. I think that is what we hopefully get a chance to wrap our arms or our heads around with these texts. Because he's inviting us to receive something from him. One of the all-time great psalms that we, if you got to be a part of church for any amount of time, you inevitably heard Psalm 23. And I just want to key in on one little part of this that expresses the heart of God and what he wants to give to us. He says, Psalm 23, verse 5, he says, this prayer, you prepare, God, a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. In other words, when you and I come to God, that his heart and design towards us is overflow. That I prepare a table for you, the opportunity to receive from me, and not just receive from me, but receive so lavishly and so fully that you overflow. My cup overflows. It's what God has done for us, what you give me. It's lavish. It's powerful. It's overflowing. And that's what we get to connect with. When he says, whatever you do in word or deed, it's coming from an identity of what I have in this king. The first scripture says, with thanksgiving. Now, where does thanksgiving actually come from? It comes from a heart of gratefulness for what has been given. Thankfulness, meaning the what and the why we do what we do first comes from what we receive. The aim is not to tell us to make sure that everything you're doing for God's name, sake, and glory. The aim is to say, God, I so receive. You've been so lavish with me. You've prepared this table. My cup is overflowing. I'm so grateful. And it transforms the heart from the inside out. Meant to actually receive with gratefulness and gladness. And that is the place we get to live from. So the truth is, if you can't receive, listen, if you cannot receive the kindness of God over you, or the lavishness of God over you, or the merciful goodness of God over you, then inevitably our motivations will devolve into what I can do for God, meaning you trying to be a hero, or I'll just serve my own needs no matter what, to maybe even to the detriment of the world around me. I'm gonna say that again. If we can't come before this shepherd who prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies and gives so lavishly that our cup cannot contain everything that he wants to spill out, if you and I don't have that with God to receive that kind of kindness, to receive that kind of lavishness, to receive that kind of goodness, then what we will end up doing is trying to live a life where we have to do great things for God. And that is a surefire way in which you will burn out. You'll find yourself wanting to do, listen, I have no doubt, even as I look at the faces in this room, that we will get to do amazing and beautiful and great things in the name of the Lord. What I just want to pause on is that we don't do it from our superhero fleshy ability to do great things for God, but we get to do it because the Father has so lavished his goodness over us. That the motivations of our heart is from a place of gratefulness and thankfulness and inheritance, what we receive from him. And once we receive, we actually have some life and energy to give. God has poured out his life for you. God has poured out his life for me. Makes a table, washes me, loves me, secured my future. This is what is true. This is who he is. This is what he has done for us. Therefore, he is my treasure. And inevitably what this does is this just begins to manifest in every scope of our lives, in all of our relationships, in the ways that we do life together, in the ways that we do marriage, in the ways that we do parenting, in the ways that we do employment, in the ways that we do work and live our lives, actually getting down to just the everyday little moments of our lives, what we receive from him is meant to be the life that we are able to give away. And this is going to manifest in all of these relationships. And we're going to get to the relationships in just a moment. But I just want to look back at verse 23. Whatever you do, work big, heartily, overflowing, as unto and for the Lord and not for men. Why? Because you've got the inheritance of a lifetime. He is lavished over you. What you have in him is incalculable. Can't see it, number it, name it. We don't even have an idea of the full measure of what we have in him. So because of that, we do what we do unto him. Whatever you do, go big, but not for anyone else or anything else, but just because you have him, and in him, you and I have everything. He's the rich inheritance. He's the rich inheritance we get to have today. So that when we serve and care for and give, we get to do it from a cup that's overflowing. And it's entirely possible you might find yourself today and you're going, man, I don't feel overflowing at all. I feel maybe even taxed or even empty. And that's what's so powerful about the scriptures is we get to together push that pause button and say, oh, let's be filled. You can be filled again. Maybe your boss won't do it or the people that you live with won't do it, but there is a king who has overflowing lavishness to give to you today, to receive from him, so that you've got some energy for Monday morning. And God knows we need it every Monday morning. I don't think there's a better day to talk about this, of course, than Mother's Day. Is there any role on the entire planet that lives a life of service more than mamas? I mean, truly, when we think about it. I mean, here's the problem for moms. Your bosses are unrelenting from the moment they show up. Just 3 a.m., don't care, I'm hungry. Just come on, think about it. Just demanding, and I will scream until you do something about it, right? And they live a good chunk of their lives this way, right? So this is just lavish serving, and just be on, to be on, you can, from so much love in your heart for these little rascals, do it with gladness. But at some point, when you have lifted your 4,000th pound of laundry, or you are on your 912th dinner, I mean, that's just real numbers, it will be tempting for you to be like, what the heck? Where's the appreciation? I just do this day in and day out, over and over, and often in ways that are never seen, never acknowledged, fully felt and blessed. But this is just how life is. And it would be so easy to go, I'm giving everything I got. And I don't know how much appreciation, and I'm not sure if anyone actually sees. And the texts here today are inviting you to have, to see a father who says, I see what you are doing. I see your life. I know you. You are valued. I have everything for you. When no one else does, I see. You are given worth and value. You get to carry my glory, which I share with you. So these texts in real, it's like, don't make dinner today for the kids. Make dinner for the Son of God. And you can give it away to your husband and kids, right? Does that make sense? And maybe it sounds cheesy, but the truth be told, sometimes, because we're all human, we actually need energy and motivation for why we do what we do. And what God is saying is, you don't actually have to be stuck doing anything for mankind. You can come up here with me so that everything you do, for what feels like the 10,000th time, and no one sees, I see. I know, and I'm with you. So you don't have to operate out here. You can operate right here. And you think I'm kidding about dinner. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Come on. Meaning, God's glory can be seen, experienced, and felt in the most menial task, in the littlest thing. You can do with this King who sees you, knows you. And this is true not just for moms. It's especially for moms today. And I would just say, if there anyone's asking you to make dinner today, you need to give them an awkward side eye right now. All right, no dinner today. But Monday's coming, so. All right. But today, you're off. But the truth is, this is powerful for mom, but it's true for dads, and it's true for children, and it's true for bosses, and it's true for employees. It is true across the board. It is so easy in this broken world to get bogged down, to be overrun with all of the things that take place. And the Lord is inviting us into something special that you and I can carry that the rest of the world knows nothing about. We can have life and power and glory and goodness in him, but we got to get it. We can't do the thing with thanksgiving, and we can't do the thing with respect to our inheritance if we don't know what we've been given. We don't do the menial tasks for the glory of the Lord if all you have is hope for the praise of mankind. Because I'll say it this way, mankind is fickle. Flesh doesn't always see and flesh doesn't always appreciate, but God always does. He always sees. He always dignifies. He knows. Whatever you do in word or deed and jobs and tasks, do with me and for me. When gratitude for who he is and the way that he sees us rises, now, church, we've got steam in the engine. Now we've got a reason to go to school or do your homework, kids, or to do the thousand things that we do each day when he is the treasure and we receive his words over us. If you have motivation issues in your job, you get to come under the fountain of the goodness of God again and receive what you need from him. Get what you need from him so that you've got energy for tomorrow. And we see what the Father has done. What God has done is thank his gratefulness, I mean, his goodness over us and the thankfulness and gratitude that we get to carry for the inheritance that we have, then we get to move. In other words, we cannot give what we do not have. You can't give what you don't have. So let's receive what the Father has. That's what I wanted to say. I got to say anything today. Receive what the Father has for you and with you. Gratefulness and thankfulness, we get to move. And it's true for all people and in all of these relationships. Why do we do what we do? It's because the glory of God has been shared with me and I get to live in the fullness of it. We don't have to be left empty. And husbands do this and wives do this and fathers do this for their children and bosses with employees, employees with bosses. And that's the context in which we get to read. Colossians 3, go back to verse 16 and we'll just read through this instruction together to see how this manifests in our everyday lives. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Looking there in your Bibles, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. What's saying here is, this works in all of the relationships across the board. Whatever you do, you got to do this unto the Lord. And it manifests in these relationships. And I know what you're thinking. Pastor, did you just read wives submit to your husbands on Mother's Day? What is wrong with you, right? Actually, what this text is talking about in such powerful ways is how the kindness of God manifests in all of our relationships and how we get to, God created this incredible order for all of us where we all get to come up under his covering. The scripture is actually saying here, husbands are actually called to give incredible covering to their wives and to their families at home, that wives deserve godly covering over you and your home, and that the word submission, of course, never has meant to be a second rate, to be a doormat, to be in second place in any way, shape, or form. You don't know why? Because the King of the universe, Jesus himself, submitted himself to the Father. And I can promise you this, Jesus ain't second rate. But there was an order that the Father had for accomplishing his purposes. And he created this incredible order. And he said, husbands, give covering to their families. Wives, you deserve covering. And when your husband falls short, and he will fall short because he is not Jesus, he's human. He might pretend like he's all that, but he's human. And when he falls short, there will be a temptation to take the wheel and to stand in the place of leadership, to usurp the covering. And this text isn't saying you're second rate. The text is saying God has called him to serve you. So don't take what God has asked him to do in the family. Your husband is actually called to submit his life to. When God gave this incredible order, he said, you'll come up under my covering and trust me, submit. We'll come up under the covering of the Father. And this encouragement is just to say, don't steal what God wants to bring through your husband. And that if you do that, he might be inclined to let you lead and not ask God to get the leadership that he is meant to have in your family. Then he says, husbands, you love your wives. And Ephesians, of course, gives clarity. He says, here's how you love your wives. You lay your lives down as Christ loved this church. So you want to get fresh identity. You hear from God and then you care and cover for your family. And you will be tempted in the chaos of the world that touches everyone. And because we live in a fallen world, you'll be tempted to blow a gasket in your own fear and anger. And what you need to do is not to try to be a better husband. What you and I need is to get his words over our lives, to cover us so that we have something to cover our families with. We all need the covering of the Father. We need the voice of the Father over us. If you are harsh in your home, that's specifically what the scripture talks to, or you wrestle with rage, the scripture is imploring you to stop, to go home, to repent, confess and repent, to receive healing from the heart of God and to be real in the world around you. If you wrestle with this, this is something that's been ongoing, I would encourage you, by the way, men, to get help. Go to counseling to receive what you need. Open your life up to other men. If you are in a home that is volatile right now, confess, repent, and get under the words of the Father so that your heart can be healed, so you have life to give to your wife, life to give to your children. And it won't come from you being a better husband. It'll come when you get the inheritance, the words of the Father. And this is, just for the record, a lifetime activity. We'll be doing this until we see Jesus face to face. Fathers and mothers, if you are harsh with your children, the scripture says, confess, repent. Get on your knees, eye to eye with those kiddos, and confess and repent and ask them to forgive you. I have on many, many occasions had to ask my children to forgive me. So this is what happens, but we don't do this to show that we're good, awesome people. We do this because I've been forgiven. I've been forgiven. I've been cared for. I've been covered. So I get to give that away. Same with bosses and employees. And there's so much that really the truth is this whole text needs like 6 more weeks. And we don't have it. We got 6 minutes. So bond servants, of course, here. It's employees paying off debts. This isn't, by the way, slavery. The slavery that we know about, or bond servants that we know about from like 18th century. That is not what this is. That is explicitly condemned all throughout Scripture, Exodus 21, Deuteronomy 24, and 1 Timothy 1, called man-stealing. That is vile. It's vile unto the Lord. But these are those who are working off debts, and they were often treated as second-class citizens. And the instruction is when you receive your inheritance, you give covering. You don't treat those that are under you, under your employee, under your care as second-rate people. And employees, you honor your bosses, not because you do things to please men, but because you work unto the Lord. So what effectively the scripture is saying here is that when you and I get our identity, we actually have something to give away. And it works in all arenas of life, and marriage and parenting and employment and every other place we get to go. So what I do want to do is just finish with this, if you guys will stand with me. Just going to take these last few minutes to do this. If you do it, just if you can close your eyes for a moment, if you are able to, are you going to hold your hands out to receive? But I want to read this scripture over us again. You prepare a table before me, even in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. You cover, and my cup overflows. Would you ask God this? God, can I see the table you've prepared for me? You might even just ask him to give you a picture of the table he has prepared for you. What he has for you, what he gives to you. Ask him right now, prepare a table. What do you see overflowing for you right now? What do you need? Ask him. Thank you, God. We receive. Do you receive the kindness of the Father? And if you do, is there anything that the Father's asking you to lay down in exchange? Would you just ask him that? Whatever fear or hurt, place of pain, would you just receive from the Father and lay down what is his to carry? The good shepherd who leads. God, we trust you. We trust you. We receive now so that we have energy for this life, energy for tomorrow. I thank you that we can receive fresh, not just today, but tomorrow what you want to give, and Tuesday what you want to give. I pray, God, our lives would be yielded to receive from you, the Good Shepherd, we might lay down earthly things so that the motives of our heart are full from your goodness over us. We thank you, God. We bless you for this. We walk with you today. And we bless our journey ahead. We'll finish this morning. We'll have some prayer partners. If we can pray with you, we'd love to be able to do that. I'm going to pray our benediction as we go. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Blessings, guys. Love y'all.